psycho killer. Qu'est-ce que c'est? Fa 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 fa. Better run, 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 run away. Oh. And we're live.
Hello and welcome back to another MDK episode of the First Time Watchers podcast.
Because we like to watch.
My name is Tim Costa.
I'm Romano De Silva.
This is Walter Vinci.
And we have a special guest, Erin Collins. Welcome to the show.
Hi guys, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm excited to join.
We're excited to have you.
Thank you.
So for our listeners' sake, why don't you give us a little bit of taste of what your movie going experience is like.
Who are you?
Exactly.
Who am I? Okay, well, goodness gracious. Well, holy moly. Well, let's just say I am a documentary fan.
Uh-huh.
So I have been watching nonstop documentaries, some crap, some awesome.
Uh-huh.
I watched...
Well, we'll get into that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Oh, I'm just getting used to the format, guys.
It's no problem. But I mean, overall, like, you're... Like, maybe movie-going habits, like, how often do you get to the theater, and...
Well, I used to go every other week, but yeah. Now that I have a small child, I watch Netflix like it's going out of style.
Nice.
And mostly documentaries, because they're amazing and
yeah.
Free. And so, but I have watched some good ones lately,
yeah.
And I'm excited to talk
awesome.
About some new
awesome.
Things that we watched.
Well, as usual, what we'd like to do on the FTW podcast is find a movie that none of us have seen, watch it together, and then discuss. These movies could be new, they could be old, or something that is on all of our lists of shame.
Oh,
and if you'd like to send feedback, remember to email us at firsttimewatchers@gmail.com, and stay tuned to the end of this episode for other ways to contact us, and to find out what we'll be discussing next week.
Did we get any feedback?
We got feedback.
Yes.
Whoa.
There was an interesting conversation on Twitter regarding The Conjuring. Hermano and I have had a chance to see it.
I have not had a chance to see it yet.
No. I think we would both recommend seeing it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Matt Rinses commented, outside of The Straight Story and Dune, every David Lynch film is scarier than The Conjuring. So I responded by saying, but beyond that, beyond whether you were scared or not, you have to admit it's an extremely well-crafted film, which is something that I think both of us had.
I definitely agree.
Yeah. And then somebody else jumped in, Jacob Knight. He responded by saying, but if he's not scared, what's the craft in service of? That's the question I keep asking myself regarding The Conjuring. So that is an interesting conversation. I think we've briefly discussed this in the past about... You know, especially with your movie-going experience, and Erin, I don't know, you might be able to jump in regarding horror, since you're such a horror buff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you get scared during... Do you still get scared during a lot of horror movies?
Only when it's jumpy. Like, when there's,
yeah.
Like a
Paranormal Activity type of movie?
Or a quiet, point, quiet, 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 quiet.
And then jump! Yeah. Only when it's jumpy. But other than that, no. I mean, I've kind of lost...
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen so much...
But you still continue to watch horror movies.
I try. Yeah, well, I'm looking for that next scare.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Hermano, it's... Yeah, I had kind of asked Hermano at one point, you know, if you don't get scared at horror movies anymore, then really what's the point in watching them?
Yeah, and like I said before, like, I grew up watching horror movies, mm-hmm. like, at a young age. Like, my dad... did not know what he was renting me because, you know, English is not his first language, so he would rent me these movies not knowing what they were. So I'm watching, like, the first Nightmare on Elm Street when I'm, like, six, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, I've been very desensitized to, like, horror movies, like, scare-wise. And, like, jump scares to me, I feel like Hollywood has pretty much maintained that specific formula for a jump scare where, like, everything just kind of gets silent and then a boom, loud noise or something
right.
jumps out, like... I mean, how many times have we seen a cat jump into frame
sure.
in a horror movie, and that's, you know, the initial scare in a horror movie. Like, I go more for, like, the skill or the creativity.
Exactly. And that's, I think, what my point was in this discussion, because it definitely went further, this discussion. So it seemed like that these two might not have been able to look past the fact that it wasn't scary,
mm-hmm.
to them at least, you know. Because, in my opinion, I think horror is a bit like comedy in that it's pretty subjective in what you're scared with, you know. So, you know, going and looking at the craft of it, you know, when you're... It might be a little hard for some people if they're not able to get scared by it, essentially,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't get scared really anymore. That, you know, I just don't. Like, and I find myself always continuing to go and, you know, seek out the new or the next horror movie, like what they're bringing to the table. I mean, I don't go specifically just to be scared. I go to see, you know, just the creativity they bring, or if they can show me something new that I haven't seen before. Like, I think horror lends itself naturally to, like, creative ways of doing, like, structuring scenes and stuff like that, where other genres sometimes don't.
That makes sense.
Well, same thing, though. Like, you show up and you're like, okay, freak me out. No. Like, yeah. You know, like, it's the same thing for me. like, I don't get scared anymore. Like, yeah. It's just the same.
So, you know, there's a potential, like, movie plot for you guys to be able to scare a moviegoer that walks in with, I ain't scared.
We'll see. That's
if
why.
If you could pull that off, you'd make it.
That's why I'm such a big documentary buff, because real life freaks scary. Me out more yes. than anything else. I'm like, oh my god, this can
sense.
Actually happen, and it's scarier than, you know, fiction.
Well,
so.
What's the not most recent non-documentary that has actually scared you? Can you remember? Has it been a while?
It's been a while, yeah. Mostly documentaries, I mean, scare me more than anything, because I'm like, well, that can actually happen, and that's terrifying. So
fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
In this episode, we will be discussing the 1986 cult classic Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Oh, boy.
But before we get into that, it is time for Yay or Nay.
Yay!
This is the part of the show where we discuss what we have seen recently on our own, and I will let our guest of honor go first.
Oh my goodness, okay, so this is the... Wait, I'm sorry.
This is Yay or Nay. What have you seen recently?
What have you been watching?
What have I seen recently? Yeah. Well, let's see, I watched, My Life as a Turkey.
My Life as a Turkey?
Yes. It was a documentary on this dude, wicked creepy-ass dude, that became a surrogate parent to turkeys and raised, I think it was like eight, oh gosh, how much? Well, he raised a bunch of turkey little babies from eggs and basically taught them how to survive, and it was based on a true story, which I don't even know what that means, like...
Somebody out there actually did it.
Yeah, but, like, it was a documentary, so
it's
how is it based?
To already be a true story.
Exactly. So, the first thing that comes up is based on a true story. I'm like, well...
So, was it all, like, reenactments, or was it, like...
No, there's this creepy-ass dude talking about how he, like, hatched turkey eggs, and how he, like, one day received a bucket full of turkey eggs on his front porch, and he was, like, wicked creepy. Yeah, so it, like, freaked me out, but... My Life as a Turkey.
So it looks like it's like just a 60-minute TV episode, like part of a series.
No,
maybe I'm looking at something completely different.
No, you're looking at the right one. No, it's like, wait, what is that?
Yeah, it says
it's... No, no, it was for real. My Life as a Turkey. This dude raised these little turkey eggs and became this like. Surrogate parent to these.
I'm picturing
turkeys.
Like an elaborate prank that just went wrong. Like, we'll leave these turkey
eggs
on this
dude's
like
based on a true story. I'm like, how can it be based on a true story? Like,
if it's a documentary,
it's a documentary.
We'll leave these here so we can.
What
they do?
He was so
I'll raise them. I'll raise the fuck
so
out. How about that?
He's like, right? Yeah. He's like, these are my children. It was really creepy. Yeah. So anyway,
would you even recommend it?
No.
No. So that would be a
nay.
Huh?
Nay. No, at all. Yeah, it's a nay. Yeah, it's a nay.
That's funny. Anything else?
I think that's it. Sorry,
that's it?
Guys. Yeah.
No, that's fine. I'll go next. I have a couple things to talk about. So, Erin.
Yes.
I don't know how many episodes you've listened to, but Hermano and I have had kind of an ongoing feud regarding the movie character of Batman.
Oh.
And have you watched the recent trilogy, the Batman trilogy? That's fine. Don't worry about it. So.
Well, which one?
Well, the Christopher Nolan films.
Oh.
The Dark Knight films.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
No?
Yeah.
No?
Not a
okay.
fan.
No. Oh, you're not a fan?
No.
At all?
No.
Oh, yes, no. This table seems to be
I'm
divided.
I'm sorry. Get out.
Have you seen all three of them?
No. I only saw the last one.
Dark Knight Rises?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sorry,
so the beef that I've had with him is that the entire trilogy, as it goes on, becomes less and less fun. So
it's all not fun.
So what I did is I happened to purchase, I think half out of the fact that I haven't seen the movie in a while and I used to own it on VHS, and half out of the fact of spite towards Hermano,
just to spite him, yeah,
is the 1989 Batman.
Oh, see, that one's awesome, though.
Thank you.
Yeah, right?
That, yeah, I read that. That is an awesome Batman movie.
Yes.
Of course, directed by Tim Burton and starring Michael Keaton.
And of that entire series, that's the only good one.
No, I disagree. I think Batman Returns is pretty underrated. I think it's pretty good. Not as good as the first one. So I watched this, and now, I haven't seen this movie in years. Like I said, I owned it on VHS, and I hadn't seen it since the last time I watched it on VHS, and when the hell was that, you know? So, it's been years since I watched this. So, I'm glad I had that separation, you know, of time to be able to look at it with a more critical eye. And right now, it's pretty dated in the way that it looks, you know? And there's, you know, however, like, there's a lot of matte paintings for the backgrounds, yes, which look pretty damn good. And I really love Tim Burton's take, you know, on the city and just the whole production design and everything like that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I think the overall story definitely holds up. There's some parts that aren't that great. I think Kim Basinger isn't that great of a Vicki Vale, but
she is great, isn't she?
And I really, really do like Jack Nicholson as the Joker. Ooh. So, but of course, you know, there's nobody will compare to Heath Ledger.
See, if I put them in two separate categories,
yeah, it's true.
You can't really compare one against the other. They both bring something really cool to the table.
See, that's
Heath Ledger died tragically.
No, but his
Joker is still Joker pretty, is
really
awesome.
Damn good. Mm. It's really, you should actually watch that movie just because
I did, and I was like, okay.
So, you know,
just because he died tragically, come on.
No, I think it's
no, warranted. No, he puts on a hell of a performance.
I think his praise is warranted.
All right. Well.
So, I mean, this movie, of course I would give it a yay, because it is fun. It's a fun movie that's a comic book movie, and it's not a movie that features Batman not wanting to be Batman. That's my beef with the trilogy, the recent trilogy, is that half of it is him not wanting to be Batman.
It's like, I took 8 years off because my girlfriend died.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. You know.
I'm going to welcome you back for a vacation.
Because I'm back. What's up?
Since I was in the comic book mood and we had recently watched the Wolverine movie, I decided to go back and watch X-Men, the first X-Men.
Right on. But you have a yay on Batman, right?
Oh, of course that's a yay on Batman. On X-Men, it's really odd to see a much younger Hugh Jackman. He's 14 years younger in this movie. And the shows.
That long ago?
Yeah, it came out in 2000.
What the hell? I know.
Now, there's a lot of bad wire work in this movie. There's a lot of bad wire work because they're...
Sabretooth.
Oh, my God. Everybody. Storm. And when people are being thrown long distances, just terrible wire work. But overall, it's pretty cool. You know who's the worst in this movie is Anna Paquin. I haven't seen this movie in a long time, and Anna Paquin is terrible in this. All she does is pout and scream. like Wally is pouting right now. But I think Bryan Singer does a good job of directing this movie, and the story is good. I mean, it's so tight, the story, because it just breezes right along. It really flows very well. My viewing experience, I had bought the DVD when it first came out, so I'm going to guess that's maybe around 2001.
All right.
And that's what I watched it on. And DVD technology has changed so much in the past decade.
Yes,
it is amazing how much better a standard DVD will look now compared to then. Because I watched it on my high-def TV, and it was like watching a 480p version. It was
it Blu-ray?
No, it was a DVD.
Oh.
Yeah, it was terrible. And then I have two television shows to talk about. The first I'll talk about is a BBC America original called Orphan Black. Now, the reason I got into watching this is because a friend of the show, Andrew Johnson, who has his own podcast, were debating as to whether what on Twitter what are and are not good television shows. And at the end of our argument, he said, relieve yourself and go watch Orphan Black. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And it's only 10 episodes long. And it was just finished a few weeks ago, I guess. I was able to catch it all on demand. And the premise of the show is really, really good. It's this streetwise girl that witnesses the suicide of somebody on a train platform. And before the other person jumps off in front of the train, the person turns around and the person looks exactly like her. Exactly like her. It's like looking into a mirror. Have you heard of the show?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So that what she does then is after she commits suicide, the woman who witnessed this, you know, runs away with the suicide girl's bag, you know, because probably just because she needed money, because she was like hard up at the time. So, and then it starts this series of events that, and I'm not spoiling anything because it's revealed within the first episode or two that she's part of this huge clone program. So, and the mystery just unravels from there. It's an awesome premise. You know, the idea of this show is really good. However, there are points of this in which it just, it seems like standard network television writing and production, but with an TV MA rating. And it just like added boobs and swearing, you know, and violence. There's a lot of violence in the show. but awesome. the main actress, her name is Tatiana Maslany. She has to play like 5 or 6 different people, and sometimes 2 or 3 of them are interacting at the same time on screen. So the fact that they have to edit this in, and also she has to distinctly portray these people in with completely different personalities, yep, is astounding. She does a great job. I highly recommend her.
Can I interrupt you for one quick second?
Yeah.
Do you notice that in, I mean, like, cutting to the chase, but Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, do you notice that, I mean, spoiler, but that the same actress played the same serial killer victim?
Oh, yes, I did know.
Over and over again?
Yes.
Like 4 times?
In the trivia, I noticed that. Yeah. Yeah.
Right, sorry.
No, it's okay.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's fine.
Just like, wow!
Yeah, it's a good tie-in. But in this show, you know, I have to give it probably a meh because there's some parts in it which are cringe-inducing in how they go to try to proceed the plot along. At one point, I'm going to try to be as vague as possible. A person walks down a set of stairs in which and opens the door for the villain. And there's no reason why this person would do that. It's only written in there for the sole purpose of creating drama for the next set of events. And that next set of events has no repercussions at all, considering what happens to that character. And it's frustrating as hell. Overall, the show, I can definitely see the appeal of it. I actually think, Wally, I think you would enjoy it a lot. Because of the premise, the idea of it, and it's pretty good.
I think what Tim is pretty much saying is like, you know what, this show is pretty crappy. Wally, you'd like it.
And finally, I want to talk about season 3 of The Killing, which just ended.
Okay.
I know in previous episodes I've talked about the first 2 seasons. The first season was the strongest, and they, for some reason, decided to carry everything over into the second season, which was a bad idea. And the second season was rather lackluster. This third season completely stands on its own. You don't need to know anything. You can just jump right into this. And, Hermano, you like to talk about Dark and Gritty? Perfect Dark and Gritty show. It's only, well, like, I think technically 12 episodes long. And it makes perfect use of the Seattle location. They film on location, they film in Seattle, and it looks awesome. It's rainy a lot of the times, and it's dreary, and just really weighs you down on the cases that the case that they're trying to solve. I have to commend Joel Kinnaman, who plays one of the detectives, his performance on this show was just phenomenal. Joel Kinnaman is actually playing
the new RoboCop
that's coming out next year. I'm really anxious to see what he does. despite the PG-13 rating. What's his name? One of the Sarsgaards, I think it's Peter Sarsgaard, plays a death row inmate, and his last episode, phenomenal. Award worthy, at least nomination worthy. So I would highly recommend this third season of The Killing. I think Hermano should jump in and watch it.
Eventually.
Speaking of Hermano, I'll let him go next.
All right, I only got two things to talk about. First one is a documentary.
Yay!
It's a National Geographic documentary called The Truth About Zombies.
It's about the drugs down in Haiti and the forced working of the sugarcane fields and all that good stuff?
Not really. It's actually, I misspoke. It's actually called The Truth Behind Zombies. Basically, it's only 45 minutes. It was more of a curiosity. I didn't think I was actually going to get anything, in-depth about zombies. And I saw that it was short. Mia and I were just in the mood for watching something short, so checked it out. And basically, they interview so-called, air quotes, experts on zombies. So they interview Max Brooks, who wrote World War Z. They reference 28 Days Later, the Danny Boyle movie. And they speak to scientists as to whether or not a zombie outbreak could ever plausibly happen. And they go into the science behind virus outbreaks and the state of being zombified, I guess. So, and then they also speak to a guy who's pretty much one of these guys who's like a survivalist. So he's kind of been planning for the past 15 years or something, apparently, for a potential zombie outbreak. So it was more of like entertaining than it was like informative. They kind of went into the way viruses work, and they kind of went into the Black Plague. They went into the Spanish flu that wiped out like 40 million people. They went into the science behind a virus and how viruses, like typically the way a zombie infection is depicted in a movie is that someone will be bitten and they will instantly transform into a zombie.
Yeah.
And they kind of go behind the science of like a virus and how like viruses take like up to like 4 days to a week to actually really affect someone to the point of like they might die if it's something really bad. So they're not gonna like, nothing's ever gonna happen that quick. There's no virus known to man that would ever turn someone instantly, you know, from one moment to the next, like have them be so affected by something like that. And they also go into, I think we're speaking to what Wally was kind of talking about, is the closest thing to a zombified state, which is like voodoo.
Yeah.
I guess there's like some voodoo practices where there's actually documentation of where like voodoo priests or priestess, I guess, I don't know what they're called normally, but they do things or they do some sort of incantation or something where they've actually been able to zombify people and actually control them. And apparently there used to be like Hitler at one point actually had, like they believe that Hitler had an almost hypnotic effect on people, that they would follow him, it, like just based on his voice. And then they also go into the idea of like groups of people and the way they follow people like blindly, like sort of like the way a zombie infection would work, where if someone gets bit, then that person bites another person. Eventually you got three people against, you know, and then it just constantly multiplies and multiplies as people get infected. And they went behind the science of how, like, it was, if you think about, like, Germany back in the day, not to be a short story, a long story short, basically, is that it was so much easier to just go along with the huge crowds that were just kind of following Hitler than to be the one outspoken person that was like, wait, this guy's obviously insane.
Right, right.
So they feel like that's kind of almost like a real life zombification of people, where they just blindly follow someone even though they don't actually believe it. So it was partly interesting, partly just kind of bullshit. I don't know that I could fully recommend it.
The Stuff You Should Know podcast did an episode on zombies, which is kind of tapped into some of the stuff you were talking about. It's very interesting.
Yeah, and then there was also like a piece on like a I forget what culture it was or what nationality, but basically they pretty much hypnotized, or they called it zombified soldiers to blindly follow orders and pretty much do whatever the commander would say or the person in charge would say. So I found that stuff interesting. All the zombie stuff, I was just kind of like, obviously you guys are doing this for entertainment. It's not meant to be taken seriously. So if it's, you know, you got it's 45 minutes, you know, it's not going to waste a lot of your time. I think it's mildly interesting. So
if you want to waste a little bit of your time.
Yeah, basically, it's...
No, it's interesting.
It's okay. It's like, it's mildly interesting. I'd say half of it is kind of interesting. So I say a light yay. And my second movie was a movie called Red Eye, directed by Wes Craven.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'd only seen this once before, and it was on TV, and... I remember initially my thoughts or my memory led me to believe that I actually liked this when I saw that, but I couldn't remember why or what I liked about it. So I'm like, I'm going to check it out again, see if I liked it. Again, it's only an hour and a half. The premise is basically a woman is kidnapped by a stranger on a routine flight. Threatened by the potential murder of her father, she is pulled into a plot to assist her to assist her captor in offing a politician. Basically, it starts Rachel McAdams and Cillian Murphy. Rachel McAdams plays a hotel manager who's having a politician come down to stay in one of her rooms. And there's this this group of people who want to assassinate him. So they find out pretty much her itinerary, find out she's going to be on this flight. Cillian Murphy plays the captor. He pretty much tells her that he's going to kill her father if she doesn't move him to a specific room to align him with these terrorists that want to kill him. It gives him a better vantage point, pretty much. I thought the movie's pretty awesome. I didn't remember what I liked about it, but as I was watching it, I started loving it. I'm not a huge fan of Wes Craven. I mean, I love the first Scream. But other than that, some of the Nightmare on Elm Street's are pretty good. Going back, they're dated. You know what I mean? Like, this movie held up for me. Like, it felt like a movie that wasn't outdated, even though it's not that old. It's only, like, 6 years, 7 years old.
It's actually 8 years old now.
Yeah. Really good start to the movie. I mean, the movie opens up. The first half an hour, you'd think this was a romantic comedy. Like,
right.
It's just, like, two people meeting at an airport, and you're thinking, like, it's a romantic comedy. And then, like he snaps... The movie does it just like kind of like snaps, and all of a sudden it just turns into like a thriller out of nowhere, and you're like, whoa. And it's so tightly paced, like the pacing is awesome. Great use of like the one location with it, mostly in the plane for the entirety of the movie, or for the most of the second act. Just pretty well acted, effective thriller, doesn't overstay its welcome. You know how I hate when movies just insert a bunch of shit, like you got to know everybody else that's on the plane.
Yeah.
You got to know their life story. No, you just stick with these two characters. There are other characters that kind of pop in and out, but you know they're not they don't detract from like what the movie is trying to push forward. So I definitely recommend it if you haven't seen it. Red Eye. That's it.
Walter,
comes to awesome. Me. So I made the mistake of going to see Two Guns this past weekend.
When you talked about the trailer, you were really
I was on the fence about it, and then I was like, this movie's gonna be great, and I was like, this movie's gonna suck. This movie's gonna be great. This movie's gonna suck.
So
I just it was one of those days where I was on that. This movie could be really cool, and I decided to go. And I'm glad I used my free movie ticket to go see this. That would have been really pissed, but I'm also really pissed I spent a free movie ticket on this.
On Two Guns, Walter.
It's not good.
Not at all.
It has bright moments. Like, the best moments are whenever Denzel and Mark Wahlberg are talking to each other. You take only those moments out, the movie is considerably shorter. Edward James almost is, like, one of the bad guys.
I hear good things about Bill Paxton, though.
Bill Paxton? No.
Really?
You heard wrong. He has
this
like, weird,
Two Guns.
Weird,
come on.
Weird southern accent, like, southern gentleman CIA guy that's looking for his $43.125 million that was taken out of the Tres Cruces savings bank.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the stuff with Denzel and Mark Wahlberg is really cool. Like, there are, like, scenes where they're together and they're, like, bantering back and forth or fighting each other are pretty cool. But then you have, like, the bad guys. These are the most nonsensical bad guys I've ever seen in my life. Like, one of them is, like, a corrupt, like, Navy officer, and apparently he's just getting away with all this without anybody on the base knowing what's going on. And you have Edward James Olmos, who, you know what, he would be cool as a bad guy in another movie. And then you've got, Bill, no, Ugh. I was getting confused.
The movie just sounds bad all around.
Fred Ward?
No.
James Marsden?
No.
Paul Patton?
No.
Robert Schomburg?
My Southern Gentleman CIA guy.
It just sucks.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, go ahead.
So, you have these just nonsensical bad guys, and just, they're trailing this money, and even though, like, the last, like, action set piece is so poorly done, it's, no, don't even bother, no, nay, never, nay,
oh, that
again.
Bad. Not even, you wouldn't even recommend it for a rental.
Not even a rental. Don't even bother renting it. See, get something else. Get something more worthwhile.
Two guns? I mean, come on. That should have tipped you off.
But see, I like movies like that, because I love Crank.
Oh, all right. I'll forgive you on that one.
And then, in advance of what we'll be seeing next week, I believe, I saw a short film directed by Neil Blomkamp called Alive in Joburg. It's the prequel, or the short film that became District 9.
Really?
It is awesome. It's like 10 minutes long. It's done on an incredibly low budget. It's what happens shortly after the ships arrive over Africa, and the people's people's reactions to it. And it starts off with a really cool, like, little action.
Well,
piece.
Isn't
there a prequel or sequel coming out to District 9?
No,
just coming out now, like by the same director.
No, it's a different movie and a different. It's a different. Plot and everything.
Same director, different movie. It's not
same universe, though.
But same idea, right? Like
it's same business. It's same business. District 9 universe, according to
really.
Yeah, yeah, that's what. Yeah, that's. What
I had not heard that.
Yeah,
where'd you hear that?
Yeah.
It's on the extended trailer, actually. What's his bucket? The guy who plays Murdoch. I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
Huh.
That's what I heard too.
Yeah, he comes out. He's like, you may know me as the guy from District 9.
But it's the same idea, same universe.
It's same universe, same.
Really?
Same. Yeah. Same. You know.
That's what I heard too. I was like, whoa, because I love District 9.
So
just because he says you may know me from District 9, that
no, he specifically says it in the extended trailer. He's like, it's Neil Blomkamp's sequel to District 9.
Yes. Thank you.
Says
thank
so
you.
Plain English.
Yeah. Well,
but wow. this is the short that became District 9. Done on a really low budget. A lot of just people like talking about like the aliens' arrival and how they're reacting to it and how they feel about having these aliens here. And you see like they. I can't remember if this was actually in District 9 or not. I have to go back and rewatch it. They have, like, these weird power suits that look like astronaut suits, but way bulkier. And you see, like, a couple of paramilitary guys come out, and they're trying to take this alien down. And he, like, starts lifting up cars and just flinging them at him with, like, anti-grav. It's pretty cool, considering, like, he probably did this with, like, practically nothing.
Right.
And then eventually you got to be District 9, and now
Elysium.
Yeah, it was
Elysium. Super low budget. It was,
yeah.
Like, what?
So you can find this on YouTube. If you look up Alive in Joburg,
yeah,
it's on YouTube.
I'm definitely going to have
free,
to look at this.
And it's a yay all the way.
Interesting, cool.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, guys, I just wanted to mention again that you can purchase merchandise. Yes, you can get T-shirts and more if you visit Zazzle.com/first-time-watchers. In the future, you'll be able to purchase more. I'm sure just about anything that our logo will be on, right?
I've got stuff coming.
Good. So once again, please show your support of the show by visiting Zazzle.com/first-time-watchers and find an item that you will be proud to wear.
Consumerism! We love it!
All right, now it is time for Trailer Hitches. Erin, I will let you go first again.
Oh, thank you. I am very excited about this one. I am a documentary fanatic. And this one I am super excited about and kind of disturbed about. It's called Blackfish, and it got a 97% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
I hear nothing but fantastic things about this movie.
Oh my god, it is horrifying. It's the story of Tilikum, a performing killer whale at SeaWorld, and he has killed several people while in captivity, and they actually have the video footage of him killing his trainer on tape, which is super disturbing, but super, like, intriguing as to why, like, killer whales have never killed human beings in the wild. But when they're in captivity, they almost treat human beings like little toys and basically, like, decimate them. Like, there is a crazy murder rate for killer whales and their trainers. So, the trailer looks amazing.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait to watch the actual movie, although I am a little disturbed by it. But, yeah, have you guys seen
it? No, I haven't seen the trailer.
I saw the trailer for
you
it
saw
when
it?
I was in Toronto, yeah.
Yeah, it's disturbing,
it's one of those movies,
right?
I sat there and went, I want to see it, but I'm afraid it's going to be like that other documentary I saw about the dolphins in Japan, where I'm just going to be
oh
like...
Oh my god, right?
Oh,
no!
Yeah.
Dear god, no!
The cove.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking
exactly.
of.
Exactly, yeah. It's very disturbing, but, I mean, it's the truth. Like, whales should not be taken into captivity.
Well, when you see a killer whale with his little fin dipped down, that's probably a good sign. You probably should let it go.
Well, they say that the killer whale fins only flop over in captivity.
They don't do it in the wild.
It's only when they're in captivity. So, I mean, obviously it is...
And I blame the trainers for dressing up like penguins. Yeah, flippers.
Yes.
Black suits.
So, very disturbing.
So you're hitching your wagon to this trailer.
I am. I'm excited about it, but I am very disturbed by
sure,
it
understandable.
At the same time.
I know it'll soften the blow. I heard before the movie starts, it says based on a true story.
if only.
So you won't know. Is it true? Is it not? I don't know.
Turkeys pretty... somehow don't have the same autonomy as.
That's funny. I'll talk about the trailer I saw for a little movie called Getaway. This is a trailer that you see first. It stars Ethan Hawke. And it stars Ethan Hawke.
And I'm like, I'm in!
It stars Ethan Hawke as some family man who's in his souped up GT Cobra, you know, and he gets a message saying his family has been kidnapped. His wife is in danger. And he's like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with my family? What? Oh, you have to do these things. And in the trailer, it's not really clear what you have to do, but he drives really fast. And he's getting away from cops, and it looks like really awesome car chase.
But there's another name on this poster that makes me go,
And then enter Selena Gomez.
That would be it.
Oh, God.
Selena Gomez, and I'm like, what? And I'm like, no. No, 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 no.
No, don't just say Selena Gomez. Tell what she does in the trailer.
Oh, yeah. She opens the car door, the passenger door, holds a gun to his face, and says, give me the car, I think. Yeah. And I guess she's wearing a hoodie, and she's supposed to be a badass, but she doesn't look like a badass, and it's completely unconvincing, and he is forced to drive away with her in the car. And she is forced to be a part of whatever he has to do, you know, for these people that have a hold of his family.
Is this directed by Olivia Megaton by any chance? Because it sounds a lot like Transporter 3.
It's directed by Courtney Solomon. And Courtney Solomon has been a producer on a shit ton of stuff. I'm trying to find out what he's actually directed. An American Haunting, which I hear wasn't that good. And Dungeons and Dragons from 2000, which I think wasn't that good either.
What? Are you guys familiar with the term stunt casting? Holy shit. When I saw this trailer as well. When I saw her pop in playing against type, I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding
me. You guys needed to see her on the trailer. Her name's on the poster! That's all I needed.
Yeah, but just the name on the poster. She could have been his daughter. She could have been.
I don't care. I see that name.
Is the same movie as Taken?
That's funny you say that because that's what it sounds like, you know. But like Taken, but the good guy drives a really fast car, and everything else in this trailer.
Well, he does drive a really fast car in Taken.
Yeah, that's true. But everything in this trailer looks like it's popcorn, you know, fun, you know, like B movie level fun, except. The fact that Selena Gomez is in this.
They wanted to be edgy, Tim, don't you see? Like, she's got this good girl image. She's got to get away from the Biebs.
She dated Justin Bieber.
She's got to put some edge on it. Edge on it.
They got to bring the 13-year-old girls in. That's, you know, they love GT Cobras and Selena Gomez.
Exactly.
So, if you haven't gathered by now, I am bitching about this trailer.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, come on.
Hermano?
All right. The trailer I watched was for a movie called Her. It's the new Spike Jonze movie.
Ooh.
Starring Joaquin Phoenix, Amy Adams, Scarlett Johansson, Rooney Mara, Chris Pratt, Olivia Wilde. A lot of people in this movie.
You sound exhausted.
basically, the synopsis is a lonely writer develops an unlikely relationship with his newly purchased operating system that's designed to meet his every need. I think the trailer seems pretty badass. The concept is very quirky. I'm assuming this takes place sometime in the future, where he buys a new operating system, and it's artificially intelligent, and it's voiced by Scarlett Johansson. And basically, he builds a relationship with it, and it's very quirky. Like, he seems like a down on his luck guy. Looks alludes to the fact that he's divorced, so he's kind of lonely, and he starts this relationship with this operating system that talks back to him and comforts him and makes him laugh, and it's like getting a real friend in a sense. And I guess the trailer at first is kind of straightforward, like it's kind of quirky, and then it gets a little weird where he's like, I think she asks him like, so what makes you feel good? And from there it kind of goes a little weird, I don't know, like it's just kind of out there. And I'm a huge Spike Jonze fan. Like, I haven't seen all of his movies. The only one that I haven't seen, which is on my list of shame, is Adaptation. I've seen Being John Malkovich. I've seen Where the Wild Things Are. Love both of those.
You liked Where the Wild Things Are?
Yes.
Oh my god. That movie was the biggest piece of shit on the planet. I'm sorry.
That's a very divisive film.
It is. I know that people fall on either one side or the other. They either hate it or they love it. I loved it.
Oh my god.
I thought it was fun, and it really captured, like,
what depressing fucking family life.
Oh, well, you're right in his wheelhouse.
You are in my wheelhouse.
This is shit. I'm sorry.
I love Dark and Gritty.
My mom and dad hate me and beat me.
But are you familiar with the book?
Yes.
That's the whole premise of the book.
The book
and
is
the book is
so
really short, and they expanded that into a feature-length movie, and I thought
into
it was pretty...
Into a feature-length piece of shit, Hermano.
I enjoyed
it.
I quite liked it.
Gonna run away from home and sail away in a boat.
I think what I also like too is a lot of the practical, like, guys actually wearing costumes. I know the mouths.
Practical?
Yeah, like all the costumes and stuff like that.
No!
Yeah, the only thing that was CGI was the mouths moving and stuff like that, as far as I know.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
No. No.
Those weren't CG guys.
Yeah, but it was... Oh, God.
It was
my God.
I enjoyed it. I've watched it 3 times. I liked it every time.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But going back to her.
Regardless,
sorry.
I'm a fan. No, it's fine.
Sorry, I just had to interrupt.
Stomp all over my love of this movie.
Oh, Lord.
Regardless, I want to see this. I'm a fan of Spike Jonze. This movie looks pretty interesting to me. Joaquin Phoenix looks he's going to put in a good performance, so... Hitchin.
When was the last time he has not put in a good performance?
Exactly. Plus, he's coming off The Master, so I definitely want to see what he does next. So,
see, now
comes to me.
Question of judgment.
Where I last saw Keanu Reeves, he was the man behind Side by Side. So last time I saw him,
that's right.
On in any sort of movie thing was in that documentary.
Speaking of documentaries, that's a very good one.
Which one?
Side by Side.
I have not seen it.
It's excellent. It's about digital versus traditional filmmaking,
okay.
Like where it's going and all that. Fantastic.
Gonna have to catch it. Thanks.
So sitting there in the theater, and I see what I thought was a second trailer for Seventh Son. I was like, oh Christ! But then it got real cool. I'm like, what the hell is this? And then it gets cooler and cooler. And then I see Keanu Reeves in 47 Ronin.
I'm not sure. Is he actually Japanese in this movie?
He's a half breed. They specifically say it in the trailers. Like, we're looking for the half breed from
our
village.
I can buy that.
And I saw that. I was like, I'm in. I'm in, and I see, like, really cool sword work and fight scenes. There's ninjas in it, and I'm like, I'm in. I have to see this movie. This movie looks so cool. Oh, yeah, I can buy that in a second. They do some makeup on him, too. He looks really cool.
Oh, God.
And I'm hitching completely to this.
Yeah, I know this movie has been in production for a while, hasn't
yeah.
it? And it comes out on Christmas Day. There was another movie. Oh, Secret Life of
Walter Mitty. These were the two movies that I was like, oh, which trailer do I want to do first?
Yeah.
And this is the second one of those two that I saw that day I was at the movies in.
No.
Yeah, I'm firmly hitching to the 47 Ronin.
I respect your opinion, but I disagree. I'm sorry.
That's funny. Did you guys know that we now have a YouTube page?
What? The YouTubes?
Yeah, the YouTubes.
What's YouTube?
Once again, what is YouTube?
Yeah, we need to know.
I'm not going to go into describing what YouTube is.
Is it on the internet? I've heard a lot about this place.
I will say that even though we don't have much content on it now, we will be adding content very soon.
Oh,
how
yep,
do you get there,
yep,
Tim?
Yep.
If you visit youtube.com/1sttimewatchers, you'll be able to see behind-the-show content, in-show content,
whoa,
and maybe even some extras that each of us would like to share.
Sweet.
I'm sure Wally will have a little something soon.
There'll be something coming.
Oh my gosh.
Once again, that is youtube.com/1sttimewatchers. Just another way to enjoy the show.
Sweet.
All right, let's get into our discussion of Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Did I stutter? Give me the $50 and get out!
I'll give you $50!
Otis, plug it in.
The plot. Loosely based on the story of confessed murderer Henry Lee Lucas, the film follows Henry as he selects innocent victims, occasionally with his roommate Otis, and kills them, capturing their murder on videotape. The director, John McNaughton. The actors, Michael Rooker, Tracy Arnold, and Tom Tolles. Erin!
Yes, can I please just get started on
absolutely.
This?
Absolutely, go.
Holy crap. Have a ball. Okay, first of all, my boyfriend prefaced this movie with being like, it is going to be one of the most disturbing movies you'll ever watch.
I've heard that by other people too.
Yes. So I went into it being like, oh my god, it's going to be so disturbing. Okay, first of all, no. I was not disturbed whatsoever, and I did a lot of research on this movie after I watched it. And did you know that it came out in 19... Well, it was made in 1986.
Yeah.
But it was released in 1990.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of, sorry, I'm reading my notes.
It's okay.
I sound like an idiot. But there was a lot of disruptions in, like, the release date, and also they originally wanted to release it as a... as a different movie. It wasn't going to be a horror movie.
Yeah,
and then they decided to, because the director watched a 2020 episode on Henry Lee Lucas and how he committed 11 murders. So he decided that he was going to switch his, the movie up and actually base the movie on Henry Lee Lucas. That's why Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. Okay, so, first of all, Becky, right? Becky?
Yep, the girl.
Do you guys notice that she looks like Becky from Roseanne as
yes.
well?
Yes,
you guys
that.
Saw that
yes,
too?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, okay, I was like, holy crap, she looks like Becky from Roseanne.
And the whole time watching the movie going,
Becky.
I've seen this face before.
Right, she looks just like Becky from Roseanne. It's unbelievable. And also, I could not get over the fact that Merle was from The Walking Dead, and he said some quotes that I was like, oh my god, that's just what Merle would say.
I like to think of this as, like, Merle's, like, past, like, his origin story.
Yes! Yes.
It made the movie more enjoyable for me when I thought of it in those terms.
Oh, that's
yes, because he was, like, a younger, creepier set. Well, he was creepy anyway. My first observation was that he had a rainbow sticker on the window of his car, and also a bumper sticker that said, "The moose is on the loose."
Yeah, that was crazy.
And that they were smoking in airports and restaurants, so it was definitely dated.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
And, Jesus Christ. I love the fact that 10 murders happened.
You counted off each murder?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. There were 14 murders total. And that does not count the ones that Otis committed. Sorry, I took a lot of notes. So, my biggest thing was that it was creepy because, like the Jaws movie, it was scarier not to see the struggle in the death of the first at first. And then the first actual murder that was committed
on screen
was
the two hookers,
the prostitutes
right?
the car. Yes, the two hookers. But even then he like snapped the neck, so it was kind of spoiler, but so that was kind of like effed up.
But overall, what did you think of the film? Like, did you enjoy it?
I was not scared. I was not scared. I thought, yes, I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I thought it was a really good kind of, like, I don't know. Like, the part that really kind of freaked, I mean, spoiler, I won't get to that yet, but, I don't know. I didn't think it was that scary. I mean, like...
Well, you went into it thinking it was going to be a scary movie?
It was
going to
be horrifying. Really? Like, my boyfriend was like, it's going to disturb you. Maybe you shouldn't watch it. It's going to be freaky. And then I watched it, and I was like...
So, but despite all that stuff, you were able to appreciate it? Or...
Yeah, I guess. I mean...
You seem a little mixed on it.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't that creepy. I mean, there were parts towards the middle, towards the end...
Yeah.
That were, like, a little disturbing. There was one particular part that was disturbing. I won't get to that yet. But, I don't know. I mean, coming from somebody that watches, like, Breaking Bad and, like, there's just been way more violence that I've seen, like, on actual television shows as opposed to this movie.
And even the tone of what was happening didn't
affect the music you? Freaked me out more than anything. Oh, okay. Music, the tone of the music, I loved. It was great.
Yeah.
But, God bless you.
Thank you.
But, yeah, I don't know. There's only one part that I was like, meh.
Okay. Carmona?
I was not a fan of this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't really care for it. First of all, I feel like we just kind of try to force things into horror movie genre because there's no other place to put it. I would consider this more of like a subgenre, like a serial killer movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even barely at that, like... The way the movie opens is very clunky. Like, you just see bodies that have been killed in various ways.
Right.
Like, someone strangled with a telephone cord or something. Another girl just drowned. And I'm like, all right, this is kind of a weird way to open the movie. And then once it gets going, I'm just kind of like, this movie is mostly tame aside from one scene. I think it's a scene that Tim tried to warn me about before I watched the movie. That's the one scene where I felt like this is really disturbing.
Can we just talk about it then, since we are both bringing it up?
You should probably look into spoilers.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, it's
we'll
technically, potentially a spoiler, so I don't want to like just jump at it right away. But overall, I just felt like the movie was mostly kind of ugly. The way things were framed, the way it was shot, it was just kind of really old. And I don't know if it was meant to be that, or if it was just a product of being a movie from 1986.
Well, it was only made for $100,000, and they only had a 16mm camera in which they shot, and it was shot in full frame. And now you saw it, and you kept describing to me it looked like it was in widescreen, but I think your DVD player must have stretched it.
It must have upscaled it, because I didn't watch it in a 4:3 format. I watched it in widescreen.
Yeah.
Okay, can we please talk about the fact that, like, okay, so Becky said, I'm sorry. I'm just, like, blown away by this. So Becky sat down with Henry, right? And they started playing the card game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so Becky started telling Henry that her dad tried to rape her.
Yeah.
And that
where does that come from?
Successfully did so.
Where does that come from? Why does she even go?
Well, okay, so this whole thing, she's like, yeah, my dad tried to rape me, da 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 da. And then she was the first time ever talking to Henry.
Yeah.
Let's play cards, and I'm going to talk to you about how my dad tried to rape me and I got molested. And then his response was,
oh, what do you say? Didn't get along with your daddy, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
No, so then, again, right? Like,
oh, you didn't get along with your daddy.
And then, Becky started talking to him about, I'm sorry. Henry started talking about how his mom was a whore, and he made Henry watch it, while she had sex, and she beat him.
Well, that was a case where...
And made him wear a dress.
Yeah, well, that's a case where, you know, in interviewing the real killer, you know, he claimed that those things happened, so I think that they're trying to force those things into the script.
Yes, I understand that. But after all this conversation, she goes, she made you wear a dress. Like, that's the most shocking fucking thing, that, oh, my mom made me watch her have sex with
my mom made me watch her blow like a dozen dudes
right?
Safety seal.
Oh,
and I was wearing a dress. Holy shit, you were wearing a dress.
She made you wear a dress? Oh, awesome.
You're a transvestite?
Right? Like, oh, fuck. Like, I could not even process that. I'm like, really? Really?
Wally, what did you think of this movie?
I'm with Armando. This movie is fucking hideous.
Really?
I don't know if it was my TV, but, like, some parts look really badly grainy.
Oh, yeah,
and, like, poor. Then other parts look like they were shot in high def. Hmm. It was the weirdest, like, effect. I don't know if it was my TV doing or if he saw it, if Armando saw it on his TV, too.
Yeah, yeah.
There's, like, parts where it's, like, really grainy, and then, like, they're on the couch, and it's, like, super crisp and, like, smooth-moving camera. I'm like, what is it? Like, what the hell's going on? And then it says made in 86. I didn't buy that for a second. I was like, this movie looks like made like 1978. with all the vehicles that are on the road.
Oh, yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
The style of clothing. And then, you know, the budget was $100,000. Yeah. Most of that went on the prop camera they bought at probably Sears so they could make this movie and drive around and break it. Which I'm not even sure if it was like part of the, like, oh, fuck, we just lost like $10,000. We just bought this damn newfangled VHS camera, which, you know, gets destroyed, you know, at one point in the movie. This movie is one long 48-hour film project, is what it is. That's the feel that I got out of it, and I did not like it. I didn't like the pacing. I didn't like the story. It was boring, and, you know, everyone's saying that she was not disturbed. I personally was disturbed to the core that this has occult status. Because it just, why would this thing have a cult status? In fact, like, if you're going to riff tracks it, I could see it. You're going to have, like, a midnight showing, like, let's all get together and watch Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer and make fun of it.
Now, so, I don't know what you guys are talking about, because I actually really enjoyed this film. I wasn't bored throughout at all, and... You know, you guys mentioned the difference, like, in like the graininess to the good, when it looked a little bit better. And I think that actually helped with the tone of the movie, because it there are some points which are really disturbing. I really like the way that this movie opens with just the cold shots on the and zoom outs on these murder victims.
I see, because what you did there. Cold shots
because they're all different. Every single murder is different, essentially. And especially some of the makeup job that's done on like one of the first victims that you see in the
bottle.
In the bottle through the face. I'm like, what the hell?
But it's the same victim. Like,
I didn't even notice that.
Yes, it's the same. She plays.
No, I read that later, but I didn't notice that during the movie that it was the same person, same actor, actress who played the victims. But, you know, the standout scene, which I don't think is really a spoiler.
There's not really much to spoil in this movie.
Because it's pretty much halfway through the movie. The ending is a spoiler. What happens at the ending is a spoiler. But midway through the movie, you know, they obtain this video camera and they record a home invasion and a killing. And that was the most disturbing thing.
Yes.
Because
he snaps her neck.
Well, not just that, but it's all one long take. There's no cuts or anything like
that.
True. And it's just so effective in which it really puts the viewer as in, like, you're in on this. And that's what I feel like throughout the whole movie, because during a lot of the kills, the camera is static. And even something else that's a little more horrifying towards the end of the movie, the camera is stationary, and it's like you're forced to be the viewer. You're almost like forced to be the person in this room witnessing this, and you can't do anything about it.
See, my problem with it was that Henry is, like, weirdly moral. Like, he does not like Otis to, like, fuck around with his sister, and he gets, like, really pissed that he's, like, trying to, like,
and that's what makes it even more disturbing, because he seems rather inconsistent throughout the whole film.
Right, and he's, like, very, like, moral, and, like, you're like, oh, okay, well, maybe you're gonna work out, but then he,
and then, spoiler, of course, it's the relationship between the brother and the sister, and you're like, what is going on here? And I'm thinking to myself, of all places to run away to, you're going to be with your brother?
Yeah, exactly. Your sex offender brother.
Oh, my God.
That's just trying to rape you at any...
You're trying to rape anybody.
Yeah, pretty much.
And also, okay, so Henry can't read, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he looks at her shirt, and it says, like, I love Chicago.
Chicago.
And he goes, I love Chicago. What does it say? So, like, what? Can you read or can you not read? And also, he has different stories about how he killed his mom.
Well, see, like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at first he's like, oh, I killed her with a baseball bat, and then I stabbed her.
Well, he's a psychotic.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to change his story depending on who he's talking to. because he's never going to tell you the truth of what happened to his mom.
Right, but then he can read, but he can't read.
It's this whole thing. It's very inconsistent. He never really tells the truth.
Right.
Yeah.
But so what? I mean,
you don't know what they were trying to convey there. Like why he was so. I mean, I got it. It's just his nature not to be truthful with everybody.
I guess,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, speaking onto what Erin mentioned about him being weirdly moral, like I felt like this movie, once it got to the point where he's kind of like the sister's protector and like he's kind of looking out for her, you almost felt like he was maybe had the potential to turn over a new leaf. Like she was maybe this thing that he could, like something he was looking for, like some kind of stability in his life where he's like, you know, I've never had something like this, a relationship, maybe a real girl that I actually liked. And then inevitably where the movie goes, I was just kind of like, really? Like, they just completely threw a curveball towards the end, and I was just like, I feel like they were almost setting up, like, a kind of weird situation where, like, at first you really despise this guy, and by the end you're kind of like, well, I don't know, he's not all bad, even though he's killed so many people in the beginning of the movie. Like,
right.
I mean, at first I was like, when I said there's only one really effective scene, like, it's the home invasion one. But the only reason I feel like the other ones weren't that effective is because just the way they were shot, I just felt like they were so ineffective at getting the point across that he just killed these people. They were kind of cartoony in the way the acts were depicted, like where he's just snapping everyone's neck.
But you're talking about the earlier ones that are just...
Like the prostitutes, for example. Like, it seems like it gets rough at first, and then he just snaps necks and throws them out of the car.
Oh, in the car, okay.
And I'm like, one, I was like, well, it's kind of like an occupational hazard. Like, you're a prostitute... You got to expect that this could happen to these people, so it's not as effective on that point as well. Not to be crude or anything, but I mean, technically, when you're a prostitute, you know, you got to expect that you're going to be dealing with the scum of the earth.
Right.
So when those people die, you're just kind of like, well, that sucks, but that's the line of work they're in.
Hmm.
The family, however, people just at home trying to live their lives, and this guy breaks in, and I felt like Otis was far, far more disturbing than
Henry
was.
Gross.
I thought they were way more. The filmmakers were way more effective, and maybe it was just his portrayal.
Yeah,
of...
Maybe this movie is titled not titled correctly, because it's not really a portrait of Henry. It's really a portrait of these three people.
Yeah,
you
right.
Know?
Can we just talk about really quickly about how they filmed a mugging? As a side note, and like
dudes
in the park were like stabbing. Like, do you guys not remember this?
The stabbing,
the mugging.
They filmed two dudes mugging.
Oh yeah,
another
yeah,
dude
yeah.
in the park.
That's
with
right.
the camcorder.
Oh
where
yes,
hiding
yes,
the bushes.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, just it was totally random. And
yeah, well, they were so apathetic to it. You know, they were almost having
just like they shivved this totally random dude.
Yeah.
But it had no correlation or relation to anything else.
I think
just
showed how they revel in the horror of these acts.
Or just
you know?
The shock factor is not there for them, because to them that's nothing. Like that's just, you know, tame.
They're just
to what
practicing
they do.
Video taping things pretty much.
So random. It
is very random.
Was
pretty random.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Let me see. What else do I have? Oh, also Becky had a daughter.
Yeah,
that she was making that videotape for.
She left behind her daughter to come.
That's the thing.
Chicago,
she leaves behind her daughter with her scum boyfriend or husband or something like that.
With her mom? No, with
her
mom.
Mother.
Yeah,
yeah, but she just
the enabling mother. The little
that's right.
girl is there, and to go to Chicago. And I've seen people do this before, where like they've. In order to try to establish a new life for them, so they have to go ahead of their kids so they can actually, like, make money and get a place, and then, you know, have the kid with the grandparents.
Yeah, no, she went and lived with her fucking incestual brother.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's pretty fucked
like,
up.
Hey, kid, I'm gonna leave you to go hang out with your gross uncle, and I'm gonna get a weird video to send you.
I know, yeah.
You got a parole officer and everything.
Sure, later,
I mean, what about that scene? I think, really, the standout... The first standout scene in this movie is that home invasion videotaping. Did that not affect you at all?
Really, even moved.
Really?
Yeah. At that point,
the
movie completely lost me to that point. That I was just like, "Why?" Like, I've seen worse things. I've watched Irreversible. I've seen worse.
Yeah, Serbian film.
I've seen a Serbian film. These eyes.
Yeah, but
I've seen things.
But it's also just the tone of it, really, and just the fact
even
that
it felt so forced to me. Like, we're super villains. Look, we're in somebody's house and we're doing all these crazy things. We're beating up this dude.
They're not doing crazy things.
Yeah, they are. They're raping the dude's
neck,
webbies
like,
and while the dude's
like
kicking
while
the shit
dead,
out of him.
Like, that was disturbing.
No.
That's right.
It just seems forced.
They feature borderline necrophilia in here, and that's what they want. Yes. In the trivia, they wanted to do that. They wanted to film it, but the producer or whatever was like, no, we can't have that.
It was cut out.
Yeah.
It was cut out of the original film. Yeah, that's what I watched. But then the one that I watched,
yeah,
put it back in.
Yeah.
Oh, you watched the unrated version?
Yes.
Yeah, the version. Oh. Yeah. I suppose that's what I got, too, was the unrated version. I didn't see any other than the titty scene.
Snaps her neck and then sucks in her tits.
Yeah,
it's disgusting.
I felt like the only thing this movie was really effective at getting across was Otis's like escalation into at first starting off with just killing someone. At first, he's kind of guilty about it.
Yeah.
Like Henry's like, no, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. You know, kind of like I've done this before. No one's gonna care, whatever.
Seeing
as he goes, like he just continually. He wants to shoot somebody, and then he goes to home invasion, and then he's like raping his sister, and like just his escalation of like where he goes. I felt like they were effective as far as his character, but Henry, I didn't buy it. Like I just felt like he wasn't just very effective. Like I love Michael Rooker as an actor, but I just felt in this movie like he was mumbling most of the movie. He was just like.
Did you guys see Otis's going out shirt on the side note?
That was the only genuine laugh I got in this movie. when he just steps out in that shirt, I fucking almost...
Oh, yeah, when they go get a beer.
That was hilarious.
The disco ball.
It is amazing.
Especially
had to mention that.
Since what that scene follows. I mean, they just had... Like, he just got slapped in the mouth by Michael Rooker's character, Henry. And, like, he's like, hey, you want to go get a beer? And he's just kind of like, yeah, all right, guess.
And then he's
like, I'm gonna go change my shirt. I got my awesome shirt on.
Alright, let's get into spoilers.
Okay.
So you were talking about that shirt because it follows the last scene in which he is raping his sister?
Yes.
Yeah. That scene because you figure that there was going to be sort of some sort of preamble to it, and all of a sudden just cuts back to him mounting her, and I'm like, holy shit!
Saw it coming
like
a mile away.
Tiny whiteys on, and just humping away. Ugh.
Saw it coming a mile away. Telegraph.
Oh, no, I saw it coming. Yeah. I saw it coming, but the fact that there's no, like, scene, like, there's... The way they cut is that they cut right to it. In any other movie, you would see some sort of other scene.
Like a struggle or
something
setting
you
up.
Well,
it's just
he
in the
had
middle.
His hand up in the inner doorway and was like,
yeah.
Hey, girl, what are you doing?
Yeah, so that kind of set it up, you're like, oh, gross.
I'm talking about the TV explosion scene for a second where he kicks the TV till it breaks.
Wait. He smashed it over the dude's head?
Oh no, not
no.
that one.
He's like, look, it's like an off, it's an up, and, it's an up and away, it's an up and down shot. So you're looking down at the TV, so you can't actually see the screen. And he's so mad, he's kicking, and then you see sparks, and then like a little bit of smoke. He's like, oh, the TV's broken. It just kind of cuts away. Like we didn't exactly destroy a TV. Just want to make you think we
did.
Did
you guys see the same version I saw?
Yeah,
where he smashed it over that dude's head.
Yeah, we saw that.
Oh,
That's what leads to that scene.
Okay.
The TV being broken that leads them to go to the TV dealer.
Like, I want the big one. Ooh.
Yeah, I think that may have been more one of the more ridiculous killings. And when they smashed the TV over the guy's head, you know, I thought that was a little more, especially the way the guy is struggling and screaming. It's just, I don't think he was a very good actor.
$50, take it or leave it.
$50 for a TV, don't mind the
$50. $50.
That scene felt very grindhouse-ish to me. Like it felt like something that belonged in like a grindhouse style movie where
underground TV sales.
Definitely.
Yeah, like this guy's like this movie was so.
I could be selling drugs.
Well, that's
or
the whole movie felt that way.
Awesome. Well. What else was great was that he explained what a camcorder was.
Oh, yeah.
He's
like, hey, it's a video. You put a tape, a VHS tape in it.
I was like, wow, he's explaining what a camcorder is. That's amazing.
And the fact that it costs like $1,000.
Yeah,
$1,000.
Really?
But I think the dated look of it actually added a lot to the tone and tenor of this movie. And how, you know, essentially in the end it's kind of disturbing.
I had a hard time getting by it aesthetically. It was so ugly and so dated that I just, it wasn't effective. Like I just felt like if I had seen this, like, I heard the same thing everyone had heard. This movie's really disturbing, but Mia warned me it's probably going to be very dated. And watching it, I was trying to put myself back when I was 10 years old. If I had seen this when I was 10 years old, would this movie be a lot better to me or more effective? And I don't think so. I just think even back then, I thought this movie would have looked poor compared to movies of that time. I had seen Star Wars already at this point. I'm like, I'm not going to fucking look at this movie and be like, this movie is amazing, or it worked on me, it scared the shit out of me.
Dude.
Hell no.
My favorite part was when Becky walked out of the subway station, and she was like walking around the streets of Chicago, and it was like, she's like really happy, and she's like dancing and singing, and she's having like a great time.
That'd be
like,
great if she just broke out into musical like 500 Days of Summer, you know, people like, dancing.
And she's like walking out of the subway station all happy, just like broke out of nowhere. It's like, hey, here's a rape scene. Hey, guess what? I'm walking out of the subway. Whee! Like, That was probably my favorite part. I was laughing hysterically.
She got her job as a shampoo girl.
That's right. That's when she walked in and got that job right off the bat.
Yeah, I love how
shampoo people's hair.
Isn't that amazing?
They don't use any shampoo.
I'm a shampoo.
They actually have to show that. They
it's amazing.
Have to cut to a scene.
Yeah, she goes to Oda. She goes, I'm a shampoo girl. And he goes,
they pay someone
what's
for that?
That?
They pay somebody for that?
Yeah, they pay somebody for that.
I think these guys were on the verge of, like, being mentally retarded. Especially Otis. Like, he didn't know what anything was.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Had to be explained what a camera was, what a shampoo girl
was.
As
a side note, great casting, because they both had wicked fucked up teeth. Did you guys notice that?
Yes.
They both have, really disgusting teeth.
Yeah.
So it was wonderful casting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ugh.
Sorry,
guys.
So yeah, they're messed up teeth. That was a really good touch, though.
Oh my
God. So yeah. I mean, was there anything else you guys wanted to mention?
This movie just looks. It says 86. It looks like 78.
I mean, I really was able to get past the dated look, the grainy look.
I'm fine with watching movies from the 70s and like early 80s, mid 80s. I know what to expect, but this. It's like the movie that visually says 1990, 86, but looks like 78.
Okay, so I have something to add. Okay, so he sees Henry sees that random lady in the alleyway, right, with the dog.
Oh, yeah.
And he watches her go and doesn't kill her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Why?
That's a good point, but maybe it's just...
It's the shadow of death passed over you.
Yeah, but then he goes and kills Becky, who did nothing wrong.
Well, that's
exactly
that's the thing too. It goes into his psychosis of being random and not being consistent, and you don't have to have a reason to kill anybody,
Right. Yeah, but
I feel like he was fairly consistent throughout the movie. Like, he would pretty much kill a person every day.
Well, there's could be no
that
reason.
That is his reason.
That
he just needs to kill somebody
exactly.
every day.
Yeah,
that's
but why?
Point.
He watched her go, and he, like, clearly did not
I feel
like
maybe
this
he was kind of profiling her and then looked at where she was going, and he
You've
easily
done an alleyway, though?
He could have gone her, absolutely, but I just feel like it was another thing that the movie was trying to... I felt like it was leading us to a certain conclusion, like, he's going to change his ways. Like, he's going to save Becky. They're going to go off and start a life together or something. And then the eventuality of the movie is that he kills Becky, and I'm like...
Well,
in a suitcase.
So all that setup where he seems like he's morally, like, confused, and he feels like maybe he's turning over a new leaf, and then ultimately he kills her
anyway.
But that's the thing, though.
What? What do you mean?
Nope.
What do you mean?
The whole time they're talking in the comic, he's going to kill her. He basically explains his motivations. He just kills. Like, he kills, and he kills in different ways all the time.
Yes, but why did he not kill that crazy woman with the dog?
He just chose not to. That's the idea of being... They're going for the random serial killer. Like, why was she chosen? Why wasn't it me? Why did she die? Why was I passed over? Yeah, like, when you look at the people... The people who died the Zodiac killing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When they were stabbed in Canoga Park?
Yes.
The two people that were stabbed, one guy lived and the other one died. Like,
oh no, he like shot one dude in the face and then...
No, that's further on. But there was a multiple stabbing. But
right.
Like, so like, why them and not me? So it's one of those things you can't answer that question, so why?
But that's the thing though, at the ending
her?
Though, they don't show him killing Becky. It's almost ambiguous at the end as to whether or not she's the one in the suitcase or whatnot. I can see people interpreting this as that she is not the one that's dead in that suitcase.
I think it's pretty clear.
See, that's your interpretation, and it's my interpretation
as well.
But he's
alone in the car, and he was with her 10 seconds.
Who knows? Before. Who knows? I agree with you. I completely agree with you. But I can see people interpreting this as being ambiguous, and her maybe have lived. So
not with the way he talks about his
no
mom.
No way.
You're alone on this one, dude. Yeah. She's totally in that suitcase.
She's
still in that suitcase.
She's decapitated in that fucking.
Or hold it in
half. I think that's really cruel. Like the drive up to the hotel. He's pretty much lulling her into a false sense of confidence. Yeah. Like,
yes.
Oh, don't worry. We're gonna send for your daughter. We're gonna start this new life. It's gonna be me and you or whatever. And then ultimately he kills her. And I'm like, what's the point?
Well, did
it even have a message at all?
No, I don't think.
I don't think it did either.
It had a message.
I felt like it was setting it up, and it could have been better done if maybe they would have ended it. This is one time in a movie where I felt like they should have gone for the happy ending, because
really?
I feel like they set it up a little bit.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, no. I love it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I love the harsh ending.
I knew they were setting it up for a fall.
Yeah, but
well,
I loved the harsh ending of this film. I really appreciated it.
I mean, if you take Henry's story about his family life and his mother and all that from the beginning of the movie, you know he doesn't have a ranch out in California.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no.
Well, it wasn't his ranch. It was just like his sister's ranch.
His sister. Yeah.
It's all a lie.
Yeah, it's all a lie. It's like she's dead.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know.
Clearly.
I felt like it just kind of took this weird turn where I don't know. I didn't really agree with the way they ended it.
It was fucked up.
Filmmakers, you were wrong. Your own movie.
Anything else you guys want to mention?
Yeah.
You all set?
So that's it, kid.
So we asked Twitter for their reactions, and we had a few responses.
Already?
Of course. Daniel Aston at Danny Aston one. It's a terrifying tour de force portrayal of a shockingly blithe sociopath that I never want to watch again. Derek Deskins, at Derek Deskins, with the modern sexy serial killer, i.e. Dexter Hannibal, it's a nice reminder that serial killers are sick and terrifying. Cameron Carpenter, at Lumation, the first 10 minutes play like an awful student film. Good, it's good if you make it past that opening. And Martin, at Jaw Ncast Mart, I am a grown man in my 30s. Henry is the only movie that actually gave me nightmares. It stayed with me like nothing else.
Oh.
So you want to get into grades?
Yeah.
Wally?
F.
Really? That bad?
Oh.
Wow.
I won't be that harsh, but I won't be that much nicer either. Like, D+.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
I gave it a C.
C?
Yeah. I liked it.
Well, that's pretty like a C. Well, I give it a B+.
Wow. We gotta
wait. Good luck averaging that out.
Average that as you will. Okay, that does it for this episode of the First Time Watchers podcast.
All right, kids, thanks for welcoming me.
Yes,
I appreciate it.
Thank you. You can find us on Facebook by searching First Time Watchers. We post movie news and updates that we think you would be interested in. And you can email us at firsttimewatchers@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at 1sttimewatchers@twitter.com.
Or follow us on our Tumblr page, firsttimewatchers.tumblr.com.
Please download our episodes on iTunes and feel free to leave a review. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. If you have any suggestions of movies for us to watch, please send a tweet, an email, or post on our Facebook page. And stay tuned for our next episode. We're going to be talking about my most anticipated movie of the year, Elysium.
That's right.
Ooh.
And once again, thank you, Aaron,
for
joining
us.
Thank
you for having me. I appreciate
it,
guys. Very welcoming. Thanks.
That is the First Time Watchers podcast, because we like to watch.
Yay.
Test the mic now.
So, like, I determined this because of our Twitter feed.
Uh-huh.
Pacific Rim is the new Transformers.
Hmm.
There's some people so sharply divided. People like, all right, take Transformers. Well, you and I absolutely hate it. But so many people go, this movie is so cool. How could you guys hate it? This is so awesome. Look at all these explosions.
But then
we're on the same coin with Pacific Rim. We're like, this is so cool. We're like, this story is so stupid, and the characters are so flat, and Idris Elba can't act.
I think it's more like Independence Day, because I think more people hate Transformers. I think it's more like 70-30 with Transformers.
See, I always see Transformers being 50-50 amongst people that I hear talking about it.
Yeah, I don't know.
People either really love it, they're like, this is the coolest thing ever, or they're like, this is so stupid. I'm like, I am with you in the stupid category. Because I know something when like watching, like, seeing all the tweets coming, I'm like, how did people like not like it? Like,
yeah,
you're not going there for, for Shakespeare.
Yeah,
though it'd have been hilarious. Forsooth, yon kaiju as day breaks, the wall it doth fail.
Have you seen Pacific Rim, Aaron?
I have not.
Oh,
no,
it's tons
no.
Of fun.
But I've
fun.
heard mixed reviews on it. Yeah,
those kind of movies your thing, or
You know, I'm more so of a documentary. Huge fan.
Look at that.
You're sitting right next to this.
I know,
perfect
right?
Person.
Huge fan of documentaries. But also, I love horror films. And
jeez.
So, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer was...
Holy cow, it's like a female Hermano.
Weird. It's a beauty.
Yes. So, it was right up my alley. So, you guys want to get started on...